Thanks for downloading Think from KERA 90.1 Dallas-Fort Worth. You can learn more and support this program at kera.org.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's Master of Liberal Studies.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Who knows your life stories? Will they live on after you? What about the stories of the people you know and love? The nationwide StoryCorps project has collected more than 10,000 oral histories since its 2003 inception for placement in a permanent archive at the U.S. Library of Congress. Modeled after a Works Progress Administration effort from the 1930s, StoryCorps seeks to capture the experiences of those who are not in the headlines, regular Americans talking to each other about the loves and losses, dreams and disappointments of their lives. Sometimes people ask each other questions they've never been able to ask before.
What was the saddest moment of your life?
Early in the Navy, I was stationed in Norfolk, Virginia. One day, my shipmates and I decided to come to Washington to visit the Capitol. I drove the car. I didn't drink at the time, so they always used me to be the designated driver. While they were at the bars, I decided to sightsee. I walked around the monuments all day and was just tired out and decided that I would go to a movie, rest, and then pick them up later. It was right here on Pennsylvania Avenue. There was a movie house there. And I went up to buy a ticket. There was a glass there, a ticket seller behind it. And off of the glass reflected the Capitol Dome. And I just thought to myself, what a great way to end the day, drinking in all of this democracy. I called for the ticket. She was reading. She punched the machine. I reached my hand to get the ticket and lay down the money, and she pulled it back and said, "You can't come in here." She saw my black hand and refused to sell me a ticket. The Capitol Dome was superimposed on her angry face, angered that I would have the temerity to ask to buy a ticket. And I just walked the streets crying all night. That's the saddest, without any exception. It's the most painful recollection of anything that's ever happened to me that I have.
That was a StoryCorps interview with veteran Sam Harmon. David Isay is the founder of the StoryCorps Project, which will install a mobile recording booth at the Fort Worth Stockyards from September 27th through October 20th. Dave, welcome to Think.
Hi, Chris. It's great to be here.
You know, it strikes me, when I was getting ready to describe this project, it's easy to mistake this as something that's all about telling stories. But ultimately, this is really all about listening.
That's exactly right. The mission of StoryCorps is to celebrate and honor one another's lives through listening. And it's about taking the time to honor a loved one by, you know, listening to who they are and what their stories are and what they've learned in life.
Why is that easier sometimes to do in a little soundproof booth that you've never seen before than, say, across a kitchen table where you've sat for 60 years?
Well, I think it's possible to do it in both in a soundproof booth and across a kitchen table. But with StoryCorps, I think what we've done is kind of create this sacred space and this kind of event. When we roll into Fort Worth, we'll be able to do however many, you know, a couple of hundred interviews. And people make an appointment and come to this booth. And the way it works is very simple. You make an appointment and you bring anyone you want, a grandmother, parent, a friend, the person who, you know, has made you eggs at the local diner for the last 40 years. And you bring them to the booth and you're met by a facilitator who's someone who works for us. And the facilitator talks to you about what's going to happen in the booth and then brings you inside and closes the door. And you're in this kind of very peaceful room sitting across from, say, your grandmother with the facilitator sitting in the corner. And for 40 minutes, you talk about whatever you want to talk about. Most people ask kind of the big life questions like, what are the most important lessons you've learned in life, or how do you want to be remembered? And then at the end of the 40 minutes, as you said, one copy goes home with the participants and the other goes to the Library of Congress, so your great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren can someday hear your grandmother's voice with excerpts played on KERA and NPR and elsewhere of some of a very few of the interviews. And I think that you know, making this appointment and knowing that the recording is going to go to the Library of Congress causes people just to, I think, gives people the license to talk about things they wouldn't normally get to talk about. And we find, you know, StoryCorps is about 2 years old now. And the response as a national project, we actually launched 4 years ago here in New York and tested it out. And we find that people show up at the booth many times hours before the interview is going to happen. They travel sometimes hundreds of miles to do one of these interviews. So it's definitely, you know, hitting something with people. And whether the booth gives people that opportunity to have this connection, I'm not sure what it is. I think it's also possible to do something like this at home with a loved one and encourage people to do that. It's kind of just about taking an hour out of a day and looking a loved one in the eye and listening closely and seeing what happens.
This is kind of an old idea for you. It's something that you started doing when you were, a teenager?
Well, I've been in public radio for about 20 years now since I got out of college. I really didn't know anything about public radio or doing interviews. And I've done, you know, thousands of interviews over the last 20 years. When I was a kid, I did, though, do an interview with my grandparents. And my grandmother was this kind of amazing, larger-than-life character. And she was an orphan and raised her five sisters here in New York after the flu epidemic of 1917 when she lost her parents. And I interviewed my grandmother and three of her sisters. There was an old tape recorder laying around the house. I must have been 12 or 13. And my grandmother died the next year, and then her sisters died kind of in quick succession after that. And when I was in my late teens or early 20s, I went looking for that tape and couldn't find it. And still, many, many, many years later, I look for that tape when I go to my parents' house, and I know it'll never show up. But wanted to make sure through StoryCorps that no one else ever had that experience of losing that tape of the voice of a loved one by making sure that it went to the Library of Congress so future generations can give a listen.
One thing that I think is amazing about the pieces that we get to hear online and the ones, of course, that show up during Morning Edition is that it seems that very often people are telling stories that they have kept silent for a very long time. Can you talk a little bit about Joseph Robertson?
Sure. Joseph Robertson came to the booth, I think, in Columbus, Ohio, and he came to with his son-in-law, I believe, and came to tell a story about the Battle of the Bulge. His son-in-law's name is John Fish Jr., and tells a story about killing a German soldier at the Battle of the Bulge during World War II.
I was hid behind a big tree that was knocked down or fallen. And I could see these Germans in the woods across this big field. And I saw this young kid crawling up a ditch straight towards my tree. So I let him crawl. I didn't fire at him. But when he got up within 3 or 4 foot of me, I screamed at him to surrender. And instead of surrendering, he started to pull his gun towards me, which was instant death for him. But this young man, he was a blonde, blue eyes, fair skin, so handsome. He was like a little angel. But I still had to shoot him. And it didn't bother me the first night, because I went to sleep and I was so tired. But the second night, I woke up crying because that kid was there. And to this day, I wake up many nights crying over this kid. I still see him in my dreams. And I don't know how to get him off my mind.
I wonder how often, Dave, people are surprised by what they're willing to reveal. They go in sort of with a set expectation of the kinds of questions that they might ask or answer, and then they come away with a really different experience.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think what's important to remember is that for us at StoryCorps, the StoryCorps is all about that experience, that 40 minutes in the booth where loved ones can look each other in the eye and you can listen to someone who matters to you and hear their story. And I know that and for us, it's all about that 40 minutes and that kind of gift within families. And only a very, 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 very few of these stories get on public radio. And that's not and whether something gets on public radio, it is it's a wonderful thing. But people shouldn't be intimidated by hearing these kind of 3 minutes from one out of, we've actually done 15,000 interviews so far. So one out of every 500 maybe gets on the air. I think that people are often surprised by what they hear in the booth, though. And again, I think it's that, you know, we live in this culture where we move so fast. It's this, you know, kind of crazy BlackBerry culture. And we find when people stop and come to the booth, many times the older person, and it's often intergenerational interviews, but anyone can come to the booth as long as you're older than 10. We don't let kids under than 10. We've learned the hard way. What we find often that people start crying, especially the older person in the booth, the minute that the recording starts. And I think that's partly because they realize that this recording will be heard by future generations. And to me, as a radio person, the soul is kind of contained in the voice. And it's a way for people almost to kind of, that this is their legacy. It's a way to live on. And by listening, the person who's brought them into the booth tells them that they matter and they won't be forgotten, which is this kind of profound idea. But I do think that people often talk about, hear things that they haven't heard before. I mean, I know even when I brought my mom in the booth, who I thought I'd talked to about everything. I mean, immediately she started launching into stories about, you know, my great-grandparents that I hadn't heard before. And I think it's just about creating that, you know, 1 hour to ask the questions you really want to ask and to listen. And amazing things happen every hour of every day in every booth we have open.
You do provide people with a list of questions that they might want to consider as they plan for an interview like this. And some of them strike me as things that every single family should try at some point, especially with older relatives. Can you talk about some of your favorites?
Sure. And what we have on our website, and you can probably get this through KERA's website, we have something called a question generator that actually has kind of hundreds of different questions that you can ask. And it's whatever the participants want to ask. That's what we encourage people to bring with them to the booth. And most people do prepare before they come for an interview, but we do have some, you know, best questions. And these are kind of questions of the heart that we find work really well. And I agree. I mean, they're questions we all should ask older people in our families, questions like, what are the most important lessons you've learned in life, as I've mentioned before. And in some ways, and that's a question that gets asked a lot. And these, facilitators who serve a one-year tour of duty with StoryCorps. It's an interesting job. We get hundreds of applications for each one of these positions, and they go through very intensive training and then work here in New York and go on the road for months. And they're kind of collecting the wisdom of humanity in a way by the nature of the questions that are being asked. They're listening in, eavesdropping on these moments in families, and then they sprinkle back into the world. But questions like, what are the most important lessons you've learned in life, or how do you want to be remembered, they're intense, and they elicit really intense moments and answers back. But again, for us, it's whatever the participants want to talk about, and the facilitators will always say to participants, ask that one question you've always want to ask at the very beginning, because time goes so fast. So people kind of get right into it, and those 40 minutes go by very, very quickly.
So you don't necessarily have to sort of warm people up. They get in there and they're ready to go.
Absolutely.
My guest is David Isay. He's a MacArthur Fellow and founder of the StoryCorps Project. There's a mobile booth of StoryCorps coming to the Fort Worth Stockyards between September 27th, when there is an opening ceremony, and October 20th. You can find out about how to register if you would like to participate in a StoryCorps interview at our website. You can go to kera.org/StoryCorps, or you can go to StoryCorps.net. The telephone number to join the conversation is 1-800-933-5372, and our email address is think@kera.org.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's Master of Liberal Studies, offering adults an opportunity to think for credit. Details on the web at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is the founder of StoryCorps, David Isay. There's a mobile booth coming to the Fort Worth Stockyards September 27th. It'll be there through October 20th. You can find on our website information about how to sign up for your own StoryCorps recording session. If you'd like to join our conversation today, you can call 1-800-933-5372 or email think@kera.org. Dave, it's interesting that the pieces that we've played so far have been people describing very dramatic moments in their lives. But there are also times when people talk about things that are just sort of day-to-day realities. For example, this couple that became quite well-known in the scope of the project, Danny and Annie Perasa, just talking about their day-to-day relationship. Can you tell us a bit about them?
Sure. Danny and Annie came to our booth almost, as I said, we opened almost 4 years ago here in New York in Grand Central Terminal. And Danny and Annie were within the first month or 2 months of when we opened, they came to the booth together. Danny was an OTB clerk here in New York, which is off-track betting. So he would take bets over the telephone for horse races. And Annie is a nurse. And Danny and Annie are kind of a quintessential wonderful Brooklyn couple, and they came to StoryCorps because they wanted to tell the story of their first date that had happened 25 years before.
She started to talk, and I said, listen, I'm going to deliver a speech. I said, at the end, you're going to want to go home. I said, you represent a 34-letter word. I said, that word is love. I said, if we're going anywhere, we're going down the aisle because I'm too tired, too sick, and too sore to do any other damn thing. And she turned around, and she said, well, of course I'll marry you. And the next morning, I called her as early as I possibly could.
And he always gets up early.
To make sure she hadn't changed her mind, and she hadn't. And every year on April 22nd, around 3 o'clock, I call her and ask her if it was today, would she do it again? And so far, the answer's been the same.
Yeah, 25 times yes.
You see, the thing of it is, I always feel guilty when I say I love you to you, and I say it so often. I say it to remind you that as dumpy as I am, it's coming from me. It's like hearing a beautiful song from a busted old radio. Yeah, well, and it's nice of you to keep the radio around the house.
If I don't have a note on the kitchen table, I think there's something wrong. You write a love letter to me
every
morning.
Well, the only thing that could possibly be wrong is I couldn't find a silly pen.
To my princess, the weather out today is extremely rainy. I'll call you at 11:20 in the morning.
It's a romantic weather
and
report.
And I love you. I love you. I love you.
When a guy is happily married, no matter what happens at work, no matter what happens in the rest of the day, there's a shelter when you get home. There's a knowledge, knowing that you can hug somebody without them throwing you downstairs and saying, get your hands off me. And being married is like having a color television set. You never want to go back to black and white.
Such a great couple. And you, Dave, I guess were so sort of inspired by their love for each other that you arranged for yourself, for your marriage to take place on the same day as their wedding anniversary. Is that true?
I don't know how you... Yes, that's true, but I have no idea how you found that out. But yes, that is absolutely true.
I'm tricky that way.
Danny and Annie personified so much of what StoryCorps stands for, the kind of poetry and grace and wisdom and the stories of everyday people and some of the core ideals of StoryCorps, which are core ideals of public radio as well, which is that our stories, the stories of regular people, of everyday people, are as interesting and important as whatever the latest that's going on with O.J. Simpson or Britney Spears or this other nonsense we're kind of fed from all corners of the day, from all corners 24 hours a day, from all corners of the media. And Danny and Annie became kind of like family. They ended up calling the – they would bring different characters to the booth. Danny brought a major league umpire who he knew and an undercover drug enforcement agent. And Danny came back over and over again to the booth to read love letters. Danny would actually call me on a Monday and say, you know, I had a cataract operation last week. Do you need me to come in and document it? And we'd say, sure, Danny, come on in. And then I don't know if you have this tape with you, but about a year and a half about a year and a half ago, Danny was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and Danny and Annie had become really, in many ways, the kind of parents or grandparents of StoryCorps. And Danny was very sick. He was diagnosed and got sick very, very quickly. And we actually renamed our Grand Central booth for Danny and Annie. A week later, Danny was able to come to that. And I just to paint a picture of what Danny looked like. He was about 5 feet tall. He was bald. He had cross eyes. He had maybe two teeth, and had more romance in his little pinky than all of Hollywood's leading men put together. And he asked us to come to visit him a week after we named the booth in Grand Central after him and Annie. He wanted to do a final interview with Annie and talk about what was going on and talk about their love for each other and maybe read another love letter. And we went on about a week after we dedicated our booth to Danny and Annie to his home in Bay Ridge. And Danny laid on a couch and Annie sat next to him. And we recorded this final interview between Danny and Annie.
The illness is not hard on me. It's just, you know, the finality of it. And him, he goes along like a trooper.
Listen, even downhill, a car doesn't roll unless it's pushed. And you're giving me a great push. The deal of it is, we try to give each other hope, and not hope that I'll live, hope that she'll do well after I pass, hope that people will support her, hope that if she meets somebody and likes him, she marries him.
Yeah, he has everything planned, you know.
I'm working on it. She said it was her call. She wants to walk out behind the casket alone. I guess that's the way to do it, because when we were married, you know how your brother takes you down, your father takes you down? She said, well, I don't know which of my brothers to walk in with. I don't want to offend anybody. I said, I got a solution. I said, you walk in with me, you walk out with me. And the other day, I said, who's going to walk down the aisle with you behind the casket? You know, the supporter. And she said, nobody. I walked in with you alone. I'm walking out with you alone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing in life where you have to come to terms with dying. Well, I haven't come to terms with dying yet. I want to come to terms with being sure that you understand that my love for you up to this point was as much as it could be, and it'll be as much as it could be for eternity. I always said the only thing I have to give you is a poor gift, and it's myself. And I always gave it. And if there's a way to come back and give it, I'll do that too. Do you have the Valentine's Day letter there?
Yeah. My dearest wife, this is a very special day. It is a day on which we share our love, which still grows after all these years. Now that love is being used by us to sustain us through these hard times. All my love, all my days, and more. Happy Valentine's Day.
I could write on and on about her. She lights up the room in the morning when she tells me to put both hands on her shoulders so she can support me. She lights up my life when she says to me at night, wouldn't you like a little ice cream? Or would you please drink more water? I mean, those aren't very romantic things to say, but they stir my heart. In my mind, in my heart, there has never been, there is not now, and never will be another Annie.
You know, Dave, I've probably heard that half a dozen times, and I can't listen to it without feeling just exceptionally moved. And it strikes me what a privilege, but also a responsibility it is to be the person who is taking care of all these stories, the most important moments of people's lives.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason I also... it also is really powerful always for me to hear that interview. And I think, and all of them, I mean, every week I'm moved and kind of blown away by what's come out of the booth. And I think that the reason that these are so powerful is that we're listening to something authentic. I mean, we're surrounded by so much phoniness. It's hard to tell sometimes what's an advertisement and what's real. And when you hear these voices, they just kind of cut right to the heart. And I want to just give a postscript. I actually had dinner with Annie on Friday night, and she's doing very well. This interview was recorded on a Thursday, and the next Friday it aired on Morning Edition, and Danny passed away 2 hours after the interview was broadcast. And Annie received about 1,500 or 2,000 letters from NPR listeners of condolence, and I've never been more proud to be part of the public radio community than I was that day. Annie carried a copy with her of these letters behind the casket and buried a copy with Danny, and kept another copy for herself and reads one of these letters each day instead of the letter she would have gotten from Danny. And she told me on Friday that she's about halfway through the stack. I think that it's the authenticity in the voice, and it is, you know, it is all about honoring the participants and making sure that they're treated with dignity and respect, and their stories are treated with dignity, respect. And I am fortunate enough to work with a lot of really brilliant and amazing people who make the project possible and make sure that that we can kind of spread both deliver excellent service to participants and to spread the mission and ideals of StoryCorps as far and wide as possible. And those are some of the ideals that we talked about, the power of listening, the fact that when you hear these stories, and we've collected stories from now, we've been on the road for a little more than 2 years, and we've been everywhere, big towns, small towns, every socioeconomic group, every kind of person you can imagine. And when you listen to these stories, Danny and Annie, Sam Harmon, whatever stories you listen to, you realize that as a nation, there's so much more we share in common than divides us. And if we spent a little more time listening to each other and a little less time screaming at each other, we'd be a better, more thoughtful and compassionate nation. And also that these stories are really who we are as Americans. I mean, sometimes I think by watching TV or reading some of the newspapers, you'd think we're a nation of spoiled children of billionaires and, you know, internet sex predators. And that's not who we are. We're people who, you know, get up and go to work and love our families and live these, you know, lives of kind of quiet heroism with, you know, kind of small acts of kindness and getting through the day and living these sort of authentic lives. And that's who we really are as Americans. And I think that what the project does, I hope, and what StoryCorps does, both for participants and listeners, is remind us how lucky we are to be alive.
Another favorite category of mine is the sort of people who have experienced really important moments in history as bystanders or as regular people, perhaps as direct participants, but not the ones who were in the positions at the forefront. I'm thinking about Taylor and Bessie Rogers as a good example.
Yeah, Taylor and Bessie Rogers came to our booth in Memphis. And Taylor Rogers had been a sanitation worker in Memphis and was one of 1,300 sanitation workers who were on strike in 1968, most of whom were African American, protesting horrendous working conditions. I think that, if I remember correctly, one of the sanitation workers had fallen into a truck and been crushed a couple of weeks before. And Martin Luther King Jr. came down to Memphis to support these striking workers. And Taylor and his wife Bessie were at Mason Temple on April 13th, 1968, to hear Dr. King speak in what would be his last speech, which is known as I've Been to the Mountaintop speech. And they came to the booth to remember that evening.
I mean, it was wall to wall with people.
And it was storming and raining. He preached, and he said that
I've been to the mountaintop.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been to the mountaintop.
And I looked over and I've seen the promised land.
And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land.
I might not get there with you.
I may not get there with you.
But we will get there.
But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
And he was crying. Tears were rolling down his cheeks.
Preachers were crying, people were crying, and everybody was crying. And
he really talked that night. I mean, he really, really talked.
You could tell by the expression on his face and the feeling and the sound of his voice that he knew something was going to happen. He said, because I'm not fearing any man.
I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Next day, he was killed.
You know, it's kind of like you lost a part of your family. You just really can't describe it. He stopped everything, put everything aside to come to Memphis to see about the people on the bottom of the ladder, the sanitation workers. After his death, we marched. You couldn't hear a sound. You couldn't hear nothing but leather against pavement. It was just some terrible days back then, but with God's help, we came through. And it means something to know that you was a part of this.
You've been producing documentaries for a long time, Dave. I'm wondering if there are things that you've learned specifically about people and about communicating with them since you've begun this project.
Well, I think that what I've learned has reinforced what I learned as a documentary maker for, you know, about 20 years before starting StoryCorps. And that was just the importance of treating people with dignity, treating people with respect, looking people in the eye and really listening. What StoryCorps is about is really, you know, careful listening, as we've talked about. And when you really listen and you really, you know, take people seriously and let them know that you care about what they have to say, incredible things happen, and that's what we've seen with StoryCorps. I also think, I mean, I kind of alluded to this earlier, but you know, when StoryCorps started, I didn't know if we'd get broadcast material out of the project. It really started as a service to families, and one of the great surprises of StoryCorps, because I figured that. To be perfectly frank, after I didn't know after 3 months or 4 months that the stories would start repeating. I thought there would be just a finite number of things that could happen in the booth. And one of the most surprising and amazing things to me about this project has been that every week, not only are there new amazing stories that come out of StoryCorps, but they just keep getting better. So there's been a lot of learning through this process. It's been by far the most amazing experience of my life, and I'm excited to kind of dedicate the rest of my life to turning this into a national institution.
David Isay is my guest. He's a MacArthur Fellow and the founder of StoryCorps, which has a mobile booth coming to the Fort Worth Stockyards beginning September 27th. There will be an celebration when it comes at 10:30 in the morning. You can find more about it at kera.org/StoryCorps. If you'd like to ask a question now or join the conversation, you can send an email to think@kera.org, or you can call us at 1-800-933-5372.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's Master of Liberal Studies, offering adults an opportunity to think for credit. Details on the web at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is the founder of StoryCorps, David Isay. There's a mobile booth coming to the Fort Worth Stockyard September 27th through October 20th. If you'd like to join the conversation today, you can call 1-800-933-5372 or email think@kera.org. If you're interested in setting up an interview for yourself and a loved one at the StoryCorps mobile booth, go to kera.org/StoryCorps. We have an email from Bill in Dallas who talks about his father-in-law, speaking only Russian, says he lived through the siege of Leningrad. My Russian is not up to the level necessary for me to discuss his experiences with him. If he were to visit us here in the near future, would the project be capable of interviewing him in his native language? Are there any plans for things like that?
Well, one of the neat things about StoryCorps being a citizen-generated interview model is that it's families talking to each other. So we've done interviews in scores of languages, and we're a small nonprofit still, so we don't actually have translation services available. But if he could find someone who could speak Russian and do the translation, then we would certainly welcome bringing his dad to the booth and doing this interview and putting that Russian language interview, among many other Russian language interviews, into the Library of Congress as part of StoryCorps.
And one of the reasons, I guess, why you're moving the booth all over the country is that you want to really have different regions represented in the stories that you get.
Yeah, I mean, we want to create as kind of vast a tapestry of American stories as possible. And when we come into town, we not only and you know we partner with KERA. We kind of relentlessly go out with KERA and look to bring StoryCorps to participants who might not necessarily hear about it through StoryCorps. So we hold 25% of our interviews open for outreach interviews with different community partners and so forth. And you know, StoryCorps is kind of this crazy idea. We ask for a $10 donation for an interview. If you can't afford it, you don't have to pay anything. And each interview costs us about $250 to record. So we're losing $240 in every booth every hour that we're open, but are really committed to making sure that it's accessible to everybody who wants to participate across the country. And you know, as I said, really bringing it as deep into the country as we possibly can to honor people by letting them tell their stories.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's talk to Brenda in Dallas. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Thanks for having your guest on. David, thank you so much for doing StoryCorps. I listen to the stories, and then I go back and read them over and over. And thank you so much for the comments you made earlier about seeing more alike than we are different. Because I think if everybody could think and see exactly what you're saying, that this would be so much more a better world, a better country for us to live in. Thank you so much.
Oh, Brenda, that makes my day. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, spread the word. I mean, we're trying to turn StoryCorps into a national institution that's accessible everywhere. And I'd love to see people kind of waking up to these stories and listening to them on their cell phones as they walk down the street. Again, stories that remind us of our shared humanity. Because you know, we really do. You know, we're all people, and we love our families and you know, we love our parents, and if we have kids, we love our kids, and that's what all these stories boil down to. It's all about love.
Brenda, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Hang on. Brenda, have you thought about if you were to do a StoryCorps interview, who you'd want to talk to?
I've been wanting to. I've been trying. All my relatives, the fun things that I could talk about are things or experiences that I've had. I'm letting them all get away. But when they come to Fort Worth, even if I don't get a chance to do a story, I want to come over and just observe. So I think I will, but I would like to do a story because I grew up in the 60s and before the 50s, the late 50s and 60s. So I do have something to tell or something that I'd like to talk about. And I just need to find that person that I can, you know, maybe sit down and talk to them about the story, something that we can talk about in StoryCorps.
Thank you so much,
Brenda. We'd be honored to have you come. And you should also know that while the best StoryCorps is really about having two people interview each other, but there are two facilitators at the booth. And when people come alone, and sometimes people come alone, then one of the facilitators will interview you. So basically, usually there's a facilitator outside the booth who's talking to the next participant and one inside the booth with the two participants. But if you come by yourself, both facilitators will come in the booth. One will sit across from you and interview you, and the other will run the equipment. So please do make an appointment. And I should note that, you know, we always sell out really quickly when we pull into a town. And if you can't get an appointment, I would suggest if you go on through KERA, you can get to our website, StoryCorps.net. And we have instructions on how to do this yourself and pick up a tape recorder at your local electronics store, share it with your neighbors, and record important people in your lives and put that recording someplace safe. We don't have the capacity to take all of those for the Library of Congress, but if you put it in a nice safe deposit box somewhere, that it'll last for a real long time.
Is there ever conflict inside the recording booth? Do people ever
That's
remember
a great
things
question.
In a different
no,
way?
Sure. You know, I was concerned when StoryCorps launched that we'd see kind of Jerry Springer moments. And I was very, very concerned about that. And it's one of the reasons that the facilitators go through such really intensive training. And as I've said, we've done about 15,000 interviews so far. And it does not happen. It just doesn't happen. There is not that kind of conflict in the booth. There seems to be this kind of halo of respect around the project. And people really know what it's about, honoring loved ones through listening. And that's what always happens in the booth. And we've had, you know, it's knock on wood, we've had about 15,000 fantastic experiences in StoryCorps with about 28,000 participants. Because again, if some people come by themselves, but yeah, that we really don't see conflict inside the booth.
We are going to get Dave Isay back on the phone. It'll take just a moment for us to get that. Right now, we will listen to a cut of a couple that actually survived the bombings of 9/11 and what they remember from that experience.
Someone came in and into the room and said that the tower had fallen, and I thought that was it. I kind of gave up hope.
Fortunately, I didn't wait too long to call that.
Shortly after you called, and I picked up the phone, and you just said, "Gret, I'm alive." And I started screaming so that everybody in the house would know.
I don't even remember what I said, to be honest.
I do. You said, "I made it out, and I have some burns, but I'm going to get away." And I just remember screaming, just get away, get away, get away. We knew you'd make it.
Yeah. How do you think you've changed?
How do I think I've changed?
Yeah.
I guess I'm not really sure. I do know that every time I get mad at you or we have an argument, I can think back to September 11th and I can kind of forgive you for anything. And I love you because you make me laugh, even though I always say I'm funnier.
No way. I'm definitely funnier.
You make me laugh. And, you're my best friend.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have a best friend to go through life with.
That was Keith and Gret Meerholtz talking about their experiences in surviving the World Trade Center bombings in 2001 on 9/11. Part of the StoryCorps project, which is a national public radio project that is taking stories of, it's now 15,000 Americans that have conducted these interviews, and all of these are going into a permanent archive at the Library of Congress. StoryCorps is putting a mobile recording unit in the stockyards in Fort Worth for about 3 weeks, beginning September 27th. On Thursday of this week at 10:30 in the morning, there's an introductory event, and the public is welcome to attend that. You can sort of see what the mobile unit looks like. It's this silver Airstream trailer. You can find out more about the project. If you think you might be interested in conducting an interview with a loved one or someone that you know or a member of the community for the StoryCorps project, you can go to our website, kera.org/StoryCorps, or, of course, you can go online to the StoryCorps site. That's StoryCorps.net. That's also a terrific place to find information that about signing up for the StoryCorps project, but also to read some of the stories that you have heard from other people. You can also hear them online. We can go back now again and listen to a story. Okay, Dave, we have you back on the line. Hi, Dave.
Tell him if you want to tell him I'm happy to get on my cell phone and finish this up, it looks like.
Dave, yeah, can you hear me? I've got you on the line. This is Chris. Hi, Dave. I think we have some kind of communication barrier. Let's listen one more time to the story of Sam Harmon, which is a cut that we heard at the top of the show today.
What was the saddest moment of your life?
Early in the Navy, I was stationed in Norfolk, Virginia. One day, my shipmates and I decided to come to Washington to visit the Capitol. I drove the car. I didn't drink at the time, so they always used me to be the designated driver. While they were at the bars, I decided to sightsee. I walked around the monuments all day and was just tired out and decided that I would go to a movie, rest, and then pick them up later. It was right here on Pennsylvania Avenue. There was a movie house there. And I went up to buy a ticket. There's a glass there, a ticket seller behind it. And off of the glass reflected the Capitol dome. And I just thought to myself, what a great way to end the day, drinking in all of this democracy. I call for the ticket. She was reading. She punched the machine. I reached my hand to get the ticket and lay down the money, and she pulled it back and said, "You can't come in here." She saw my black hand and refused to sell me a ticket. The Capitol dome was superimposed on her angry face, angered that I would have the temerity to ask to buy a ticket. And I just walked the streets crying all night. That's the saddest, without any exception, it's the most painful recollection of anything that's ever happened to me that I have.
That was a U.S. Navy veteran named Sam Harmon talking as part of the StoryCorps project to a young relative about his experience with racism in the United States Capitol. StoryCorps, of course, is the process that we are talking about today. We've been speaking with David Isay, who is the founder of StoryCorps. It's bringing a mobile booth to the Fort Worth Stockyards September 27th through October 20th. Let's take a call. We will speak to Barry in Arlington. Hi, Barry. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for the privilege of joining you.
You are quite welcome.
I'm a native New Yorker transposed to Texas, and I'm wondering about Mr. Isay's name, how he spells it. I'm interested in the etymology of names, since there he is getting people to talk in the first person. And Mr. Isay, you say, and we all say, amen.
Well, that's a very interesting point, and when we get Dave back, perhaps we can find out about the origin of his name. He certainly is someone who's interested in listening, perhaps more than talking, and this project definitely evidences that. If you have heard some of the StoryCorps stories on National Public Radio, perhaps on Morning Edition, and you'd like to go back and hear them again, just about all of them are available, in addition to the ones that you've heard there that have been edited down, just about all of them are also available at StoryCorps.net. You can go through and they are cataloged according to different life events. And Dave, do we have you with us now? No. Okay. We're going to get Dave back on the phone in just a minute, sort of finish up this interview. Let you know one more time about going to the StoryCorps mobile booth in the Fort Worth Stockyards. Very exciting for people here in North Texas who would like to participate in the project. Starts September 27th. What you need to do is go online and register. You can go to kera.org/StoryCorps, or you can go to StoryCorps.net, and you can register yourself and a loved one for one of these appointments, and you will be able to do it that way. And I think, do we have you with us now, Dave?
Yes, I'm back, but now I'm on cell phone.
Okay, well, it's good to have you back in any format whatsoever. Thank you. But leave us with maybe some final thoughts about someone who can't quite decide if they want to participate in this. What do people tell you they get out of participating in the project?
Well, even the most kind of reticent, kind of cranky grandparents, when those are the ones when you bring them into the booth that you have to drag them out after the 40 minutes. I mean, most... You don't want to be nervous about hearing those clips on Morning Edition and on KERA. That's not what it's about. As I said a couple times, it's about honoring a loved one through listening, and we find that most people are so excited about being asked to come to the booth, and it's an amazing experience for most people. And I also want to say real quickly how grateful we are. We're coming to Fort Worth, and we're grateful to KERA, and we're also incredibly grateful to AT&T. Who's based in Fort Worth and is our corporate sponsor and makes this kind of insane, crazy project possible.
It must be fun hearing the news stories that come in, and I guess you get reports after the mobile booth has been somewhere about some of the highlights?
Always, yeah. I get daily reports on what's going on. We have three mobile booths now traveling the country, and we have booths here in New York, and we have a booth that's going to open up in Nashville next week, and we have a permanent booth also in Milwaukee. So we're at the first pitch or the first out of a very long game, but it's really exciting to see where we are and where this project is going.
Well, Dave, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. Certainly the program is something that I know that our listeners really value and that really does seem to represent the best of public radio. So thank you very much for joining us.
I had a blast. Thank you, Chris.
David Isay is a MacArthur Fellow and founder of the StoryCorps Project. There will be a mobile recording booth in the Fort Worth Stockyards from September 27th through October 20th. You can find out more about that at StoryCorps.net. My name is Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.